The nonprofit Social Media Summit, sponsored by Neon One, is back and bigger than ever. Go to nonprofitsocialmediasummit.com to get your free ticket, and you'll get access to the complete session lineup with speakers on social media advertising, LinkedIn for nonprofits, AI and ChatGPT, influencer marketing, YouTube strategy, and more. You can upgrade your ticket to get the recordings, slides, and a special bonus live training with me to plan for the new year. I know you're a smart cookie. If you want to know what's working right now in social media and how to best plan for the future, you will want to join me in Neon One in November. Go to nonprofitsocialmediasummit.com right now to snatch up your free ticket. See you there. Hello, and welcome to Nonprofit Nation. I'm your host, Julia Campbell, and I'm going to sit down with nonprofit industry experts, fundraisers, marketers, and everyone in between to get real and discuss what it takes to build that movement that you've been dreaming of. I created the Nonprofit Nation podcast to share practical wisdom and strategies to help you confidently find your voice, definitively grow your audience, and effectively build your movement. If you're a nonprofit newbie or an experienced professional who's looking to get more visibility, reach more people, and create even more impact, then you're in the right place. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Nonprofit Nation. I'm your host, Julia Campbell. I'm thrilled to be here today, especially to talk about one of my all-time, if not all-time, favorite topics. The question that we are posing today on the podcast is, how can we drive donations using online marketing? We're going to talk about how to keep your prospects engaged on and off social media by establishing a nurture system that helps people grow their relationship, deepen their relationship with you. We're going to talk about how to attract your ideal audience, how to create effective messaging, some different marketing strategies that spark engagement. So all the things, I'm really excited. My guest today is Adora Drake. Adora is the principal of High Spirits Essentials, and she has a proven track record of developing and executing successful marketing strategies for clients across various industries. Adora is a strategic thinker with a deep understanding of consumer behavior and market trends, which I know is really, really helpful when we're going to dive into the data. She has expertise in branding, digital marketing, social media, content marketing, and more. She's passionate about helping organizations of all sizes achieve their goals. She's worked with Fortune 500 companies, startups, and she's committed to building long-term relationships with her clients and collaborating closely with them to deliver results that exceed their expectations. I love all of that. So Adora, welcome to the podcast.
Well, hello. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, from Dallas, Texas, as we just established. So I usually start out asking my guests how they got started specifically working with nonprofits. Like, what led you there? What drove you? What was your passion? And what kind of work do you do today with nonprofits?
So actually, it was a very happy accident. I came from the corporate world. So I worked, like you said, with a lot of Fortune 500 companies. And I was one of the lucky ones to get laid off. And I kind of had to figure out, how do I sink or swim? So one of my friends, she had a nonprofit, and she said, hey, Adora, you've been doing marketing for 6 or 7 years. Can you help me out here? Because I can't get any donations. I'm not getting any branding. And I helped her out. And as we were building her organization, I had a larger organization from the Boston area reach out of nowhere. And they were like, hey, we've seen your videos, and we've seen that you've been helping that particular organization. Can you help us? Because we're still walking around knocking on people's doors, asking for donations. I mean, super old school. And so I was like, yes, I would be very happy to do that for you guys. So they brought me in. I did a full marketing strategy for them, worked with their volunteers. So I trained them up to a point where they're able to run their own marketing efficiently. And so they're kind of like my poster child of clients. So that's kind of how I fell into the nonprofit world.
Okay, that's so interesting. So I know you have a vibrant YouTube channel, and I would love to talk about YouTube strategies. So do you find that YouTube brings in clients and it helps you attract ideal clients that don't know you because it's because of like search engine optimization.
Yes and yes. You know, people are always on there, you know, they're owned by Google. So people are searching for things or looking for specific answers. And I know I personally love going on YouTube because you just learn so much, right? I call it YouTube University. Yes. So anything you've never learned, go on YouTube. I'm sure there's some answers for you. So I've had a lot of people reach out from YouTube and say, hey, like I've watched your video, you know, can I get on a call? You know, so it's really a good way to brand yourself and then also to really get connected to people who are watching you.
I think that's really interesting. And I don't think a lot of nonprofits are using
YouTube. No, they're not. Not like they should. All.
Yeah. So what is your sort of approach to using YouTube? It's for mostly for lead generation, but like how to's mm-hmm. and educational content.
Lead generation and of course branding, right? So, you know, I've had a couple of people say, hey, I've seen you on YouTube. You know, it's really cool to see. So I'm actually building a brand. And then, you know, if someone comes from there and they come into, you know, booking a call with me, of course, that's lead generation. So it works both ways. So you kind of want to get on YouTube with the branding approach though, because again, you're going to be searched. You know, people are looking for specific answers. They want to kind of go on YouTube to learn things and kind of, you know, connect on a video. And so, you know, a lot of nonprofits, like you said, they don't necessarily utilize that platform, but there's a couple of ways you can do this. You can either be on screen and you're actually, you know, showing that behind the scenes and of your organization and so on. Or you can approach it as a podcast, right? So just like we're doing a podcast today, you can also just throw that right on YouTube. People are still going to search for it and it's still going to come up. So you don't have to be on camera.
Right. So if you're creating any kind of content at all, and that's what I tell my clients a lot is not to necessarily reinvent the wheel.
Exactly.
Just use what you have, but put it in a format where people can find you.
Exactly.
So I just thought that was really interesting. And I know you're also on Instagram as well.
Yeah.
So I never usually jump into the tools first without talking about like strategy, but I think it's so interesting how you have really leveraged those two channels because you're younger, right? You're a millennial or
I'm a millennial.
So that makes complete sense because I think a lot of us that are older feel more comfortable on Facebook, feel more comfortable on LinkedIn, feel more comfortable not necessarily on video.
Right.
So I guess. Well, now my second question, and I want to talk about your scale method because I think it's really important, but how can we get out of our comfort zone with online marketing? Like how can we sort of liven it up, do something that's not in the status quo? Like how can we get more comfortable using these more emerging platforms?
It definitely takes practice. So, you know, even with YouTube, you know, I had about, 10 videos before I started getting comfortable with talking about specific topics. And when people make comments, right, which is the engagement pieces that you and I talk about, that helps you also create more content. So, you know, when you get the feedback, when people are saying, hey, good job, I actually learned something. When they get on a call and they're like, hey, I watched your YouTube video and this particular area was super helpful for me. Like these are all of the feedback aspects that you guys can utilize, you know, when you are doing content to get better at doing that content. So you just kind of want to listen to the market and say, okay, maybe this is something that they want to learn, or this is maybe another area that we can kind of help them in. And so the next time I put out a video or the next time I do a reel, I'll make for sure that I share this information and have a little bit more detail. So you kind of have to test it out a little bit.
How often do you post on your social media channels? Or how often do you tell your clients to post, and what's the combination?
Yeah, so you definitely want to show up, which is why, you know, a lot of my clients show up and I definitely show up. It's the consistency. So I'm sure that's something you talk about too, Julia, is the consistency. So you want to at least show up at least once a week. Start there. You don't want to overwhelm yourself. But as you start, you know, having more things to share, you know, maybe your events or your, you know, your volunteer spotlights and things like that, you can kind of start vamping that up a little bit more on your different platforms. And like you said, you can always post on one platform and then reshare that information on another platform in a completely different way. So if I post something on LinkedIn, I may actually throw a nice little picture or I may create a small little story on Instagram. So and it'll be the same topic. So, you know, it's just really cool how nowadays you can kind of create one piece and then turn it into like four or five pieces.
And I see on Instagram all the time people taking screenshots of tweets and sharing that there.
Yep.
So it's really kind of repurposing everything.
Yep.
So tell me about your scale. That's SCALE method. specifically because the topic today is how we can bring in more online donations. So how can we use this method?
Yeah, so I use the scale method, and I tell my clients to use the scale method. It's social media, so that is the platforms that you guys are actually going to be using. So that's the Instagram, the Facebook, the LinkedIn. And then there's the C, so that's the content, right? So that, those are the things that you're actually creating. And then you have the A, so that's the audience. Who are you speaking to? You know, why should they care? How do you lead them off of the platform? And then E is the execution. So you're asking, you're making the ask. A for the donation, A for their time, and then you convert them from there. So that is the kind of like the 5-part framework that I use every time I bring on a client.
What do you say to clients that say to you, and I receive this question all the time, I'm just interested to hear your take on it. We have 50 audiences. Mm-hmm. So we have, not only do we have 50 audiences, okay, so actually, I'm just going to address the A because I want to address the C piece, content. I have a lot of questions. But the A audience piece, I think nonprofits really struggle with, and I'm sure you see that. So how do you, what do you say to an organization that says, well, I have 50 different audiences I need to reach?
Yeah, I usually tell them that they definitely don't have 50 audiences. You have a specific audience. You may have 50 different segments, you know, that you can kind of segmentate your audience in. So if they're first time donors and so on, you want to kind of break that down. Maybe that'll come to 50, but you definitely want to focus on your core. So you'll start with your mission, right? So who are you as an organization? And then you'll start with why should people care and what types of people care? So that is going to be your audience. They're going to come back to your platform. They're going to want to learn more information. And then they're going to keep following you guys. So they're going to actually comment. They're going to engage. That's your core audience. Okay. So once you start with the core audience, then you can start branching off and seeing, okay, what other kind of, you know, content can I put out there to attract more different types of people? But still, the core audience is always going to be there. And then, like I said, you can start doing this different segmentations.
And I agree. And I think that we overthink the audience thing. So it really depends sort of what you're trying to do. I mean, what if you're not an organization that fundraises? Maybe you just want members, or maybe you are doing advocacy. So it does really depend. But it I love that there's a core audience. I mean, there's a thread that runs through everyone, no matter why they're dealing with you.
Exactly.
And why they're involved with you. All right, let's go. So we're going to skip around the scale a little bit. So C is content.
Yes.
So how do you recommend, like, what are the best, most engaging types of content for a nonprofit to share?
You know, I've noticed that, especially, I'm sure you've noticed too, Julia, like over the last few years, you know, when people can actually see what's going on, where their money's going, you know, how your organization is structured, you know, they just tend to donate more. So video is always number one. And now since we have things like TikTok, even shorter video, you know, people have short attention spans now. So throw up a nice, you know, TikTok and just explain, you know, what you guys are doing behind the scenes, or, you know, what your organization is about, you know, show your events, show your team members. There's just so much types of content that you guys can really be sharing. And so you have to really put different types of content out there for you to see which kind is going to really resonate with your audience the best. Because something that resonates with my audience may not resonate the best with yours. And again, it's going to come back to that A, which is the audience. You know, what is their age? You know, what things do they like? Do they like to just kind of read an email and keep going? You know, you have to really know your audience. And so you have to take the time to know that. And you can't know it without testing.
Exactly. You can't know it without testing and without really seeing what works. And
exactly
what really bothers me, I see a lot of organizations posting once and saying, oh, it doesn't work.
Saying, well, me too.
That's like I did 10 push-ups. And I'm
It's like, no abs.
Or ate one salad and, oh, I didn't lose 20 pounds. It really is the same thing. It's like you have to pick something and do it consistently and then be like, okay, maybe this isn't working.
Exactly.
But it's so hard without those data points. So I appreciate that. The S in scale. Mm-hmm. This is a huge question. So how do we know where we should be on social media? How do we prioritize? How do we choose the right channels?
Yeah, you have to know, first of all, like, who are you trying to find? Okay, so if I'm trying to find an older generation, you know, people who might necessarily like, you know, video, or they may not necessarily like the short kind of videos, so they're not looking to find somebody on TikTok dancing, right? Then I would kind of look at a platform that has that audience. So I would look at a Facebook or a LinkedIn. But if I'm looking for volunteers, or I'm looking for interns, or I'm looking for a younger generation, that I would look at a platform that I know they're going to be on. So I would look for a TikTok or an Instagram. So you really have to know, like, who am I trying to get in front of? And then you'll work on the rest of the scale method, which is how can I reel them in?
How many platforms do you usually recommend?
I tell my organizations, I don't know if you agree with this or not, Julia, mm-hmm. but I tell them to start with one. Yes. And work your way up from there.
This is more. I totally agree.
Yeah, because I would rather you know that platform really well than have a bunch of them that you kind of halfway know. So I'd rather you start with one.
Yeah, so I'm sure you do audits also for your clients. And mm-hmm. I'm doing an audit right now for a client. And they, during COVID, they had to like have their staff. So they have, you know, 50% fewer staff members.
Yeah.
And they're still trying to manage the same number of platforms at the same capacity that they were.
That's hard.
And, yeah, and I said, it's time to really evaluate, like, do we need to take a pause? Do we need to just maybe get off a platform?
Yep.
You know, what are the platforms doing for
us? Exactly.
I almost think we need to be giving each social media platform a performance review, you know?
Yeah.
And I know performance reviews analytics. For some reason are not big in the nonprofit world.
I know.
Working in nonprofits, trying to get a performance review, but
no, I think that's a great idea. I mean, it's just like you said, like if you look at the analytics and you're saying, okay, nobody's really engaging with us over here, maybe we should put more of our time over on Facebook. You know, you should look at those things like that, because that's what the goal is, right? You're trying to put the brand out there and then you want them to take action. So if they're not taking action, you guys are not putting out enough content there, then focus on where you can, you know, and be the best at where you can.
Exactly. Oh, I love that. So, okay. How do you measure then success? What are some key performance indicators that you recommend, Adora?
Yeah. So definitely the engagement. So if I see, which I've seen a lot of organizations have this, and like you said, when they come for the audit, I'm like, okay, well, you have a lot of followers and no engagement. So
a lot of celebrities do. Have you seen
that? Yeah, I have. I'm like,
millions of followers and everyone's just like a spam bot in the comments.
Right.
It's crazy.
So I would rather you have 100 followers and then like rows and rows and rows of engagement.
Agreed.
So that's what you want to look at. You want to see, are people commenting? Are people asking you questions? And then you want to go and see, you know, are they sharing? So that's a good sign too. Like if your information is really good and someone's sharing it with another person, then it's also circulating throughout the platform. You want to look at things like click-through rate. So are they actually going to your website? So if you guys don't have Google Analytics on your website, you need to have that on there because it'll show you who's coming from which platform. Mm-hmm. And then you want to look at things like, you know, once they get on the website, are they clicking? You know, what pages are they staying on? You know, are they getting on your email list? Why or why not? So there's so many different metrics that you guys should be looking at, but you definitely want to look at, you know, are people doing the things that we want them to do, which is to click, come to the website, and to convert.
Oh, wow. So that leads me to L in scale. Lead people off of social. Tell me about this.
Yeah. So the L is just what you said. It's leading people from the platform on into your ecosystem. And you do this in a couple of ways, right? You're giving them a concise place to go. So you're saying, hey, you know, download this and it'll have you on my email list. Or you're saying, hey, watch this cool video in exchange for your email and you'll get on the list again. Or if you're having a specific event, you'll lead them onto your landing page and so on and so on. So you want them to take the action away from social media. Really, you want to get them back into your ecosystem. And I really advise you guys to get them on that email list.
I do that all the time. I mean, I try to say, preach this gospel all the time because really, especially with all of the changes that have been happening, all of the algorithm changes, all of the platform changes, everything that has been occurring recently.
Yeah.
I just think
crazy.
It's so important to have. It's almost like when people used to buy radio ads or TV ads or billboards, they would know that they didn't own that audience.
Yep. Like,
they would understand. You buy a TV ad, you don't own that audience. You're just trying to get eyeballs on it. So they would look at it as a piece of marketing in that way. But with social media, it's so funny. I think people just expect that they own this audience.
I know. It's terrible.
It's crazy. I just say no. Just think of it as rented land, okay?
Yeah. I don't know if you remember it too, Julia, like a couple of years ago when Facebook was down.
Yeah, and the Facebook, Instagram outage. I was working on an audit that day. Okay? I had it blocked off for an audit. And I think I had some other, an Instagram live I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, okay, obviously first world problems, not the end of the world. But oh my gosh, it disrupted my whole day. And so
it did. But if you had an email list, see, you could still communicate with your
audience. I saw a lot of emails that day. A handful that were really kind of cute, almost snarky.
Yeah. Like,
you know what? If you still want to check out books from the library, like you can still go on our website. Like you don't have to just message us on Facebook.
Exactly. Like,
we're still around.
Right.
Oh, that's so funny. And I know Twitter was down.
Yeah, not too long ago.
I'm not on Twitter anymore, sadly. But I do know that it was down.
Yeah.
Tweets wouldn't load. People were sold a bill of goods, you know?
Yes.
Build your audience.
It can happen at any time. So, but if you guys have your own audience, see, that's what me and Julia are talking about. So have that email list, you know, in place.
And I love the step-by-step method because all of these steps work together.
Yep.
Really, I mean, and I keep using the metaphor of, you know, working out or healthy eating. Like if you...
But it's true.
You have to do all the things together. You have to get sleep. You have to drink water. Yep. You have to do all of the things
to have good health. Right.
Or you're not going to get the results that you want. So let's go to E.
Okay.
Which is execute. Is that where you sort of hit them with the call to action?
Yep. Exactly. Okay. You're actually making the ask, you know, you're telling them, hey, you know, donate now, or this is how you can contribute, or hey, if you want to sign up and volunteer. So you're actually, you know, making the ask. And I always tell people, because of course, the next question is like, when do we ask, right? So how often should we be asking? And so I do use the 80-20 rule. So I give 80% of my time to educating the audience, you know, sharing details about the organization. And then I spend 20% of the time making that ask, because you just want to build the trust first. You want to build that brand awareness and the reason why they should be involved first. Mm-hmm. Then you make the ask. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing the rest of the scale method, you should be already building that trust.
So let's just review it. Just review it one more time, what each letter means.
Yes. So the S is for social. So think all of your platforms. You're thinking about which platform you should be on, you know, how to reach those people. And then you're going to move on to the C, which is the content you're going to put on those platforms, right? And then you're going to move to A, which is the audience. So you're building your audience on these platforms. Then the L is to lead. So it's going to lead them from those platforms on into your ecosystem. So they're clicking off, they're going to your website, they're getting on your email list. And then the execution piece is literally saying, hey, can you donate? Can you volunteer? So on and so on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fantastic. I think the challenge today, what I've been seeing, actually, it's been happening for the last few years, but really dramatically in the last few months, is that not only reach, but engagement seems to be completely flatlining for a lot of organizations. So what are some, maybe, you know, I know there's no, and I'm not a proponent of get rich quick schemes or like shortcuts. I don't think there are, but what are you seeing in terms of trends? Like how can we work to get more engagement and on our pages and our accounts?
So one of the things I love doing is partnering, right? So if someone already has a larger audience and they have a similar audience to yours, so that's the key, it has to be a similar audience to yours. They may be interested in something similar to your organization. Then you want to use partnerships. So, you know, in market, we call it influencer marketing, but you can also use another organization similar to yours. And then you just kind of borrow their audience. So it's just a good way to get more eyeballs onto your profile or onto your website and so on. And then you can kind of share information with that audience. So I noticed that when my organizations do that, they get a lot more engagement. They get new audience members that they probably never would have had. So utilizing things like partnerships is a really cool way to kind of boost that. Then you also want to kind of look at the times, right? So it's really important. We talked about metrics earlier, you know, but posting during a certain time where your audience is available, that they're actually going to be on there, is going to be super important. So again, if your audience and you know your audience is going to be at work 9 to 5, maybe you should post later, you know, so kind of looking at those things will boost engagement. And then lastly, I know for sure a lot of organizations drop the ball here, which is being social on social media. So not only are you guys on there posting and you know, answering the comments that come to you, but you should also have someone on your team go in and engage with your followers too. So they should be, you know, asking questions to your followers saying, hey, we like your post, or, you know, just being really social on there and showing that you guys care and you guys are showing up.
What are your favorite social media platforms for driving fundraising?
Definitely Facebook. Still Facebook. I would probably say Instagram as well, because you can do so many different things on there. So you can do video, and you can still do, you know, some of your old school kind of long form posts. So it still works there. And then I'm starting to dabble a little bit more in LinkedIn. So if my client's audience is a little bit more, they're looking for more like sponsorships and things like that, I noticed that LinkedIn is being pretty good for getting that type of action as well.
And you talk a lot about I've read it on your website and in some of the webinars that you've done, ways that you recommend to actually get those fans and followers onto your email list.
Yes.
So I know you talked about like lead magnets. Can you give us a few of your strategies to act rather than just say, you know, sign up for our email list, which I know a lot of us do.
Yeah.
So yeah, some incentives or some tactics we can use.
Exactly. So you definitely, like you said, you want to have a lead magnet. And so that is, it's basically something of value in exchange for their email. So it can be in a form of video where you're actually showing, you know, something behind the scenes of your organization. It can be something educational where you're saying, okay, these are the things that are happening in our climate, and this is the reason why you guys should be involved. It can be something like a small little download that they can use, like a checklist or something. So there's so many different types of lead magnets that you guys can make, but the key is to really make for sure that your audience sees it as value, so they can take it, it's short, and they can kind of really consume that piece in exchange for their email. So they're getting on your email list from there, and then you can start nurturing them on that email list.
I love that. It has to be something valuable. People,
it has to be.
It's so funny how we don't think of our donors like real people.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It takes a lot for me to give you my email address.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of people listening, you're saying, oh, I never give out my email address. Well, your donors are thinking the same thing.
Exactly.
They're saying, I never want to give them my email address because the last time I did, I got spammed or it got sold. I can't tell you how many people that I know have said, oh, I gave to this cancer charity and then I got spammed by 50 other cancer charities only because they sell each other's lists. So it's like the trust that you were talking about really needs to stay paramount. Like, are you a trusted, reliable resource? Is this something that I'm willing to, you know, even just time, even just my time?
Yeah.
Like, am I willing to give up my time to look at this?
Exactly.
So one struggle that seems to come up a lot is sharing. So getting people to share, right? How do we get our fans and followers to share our content on social media? That seems to be a big question. And I know that a lot of people struggle with it. What do you recommend?
You never know. If you don't ask, then people won't do it. So if you want them to share, ask them to share? Like, it can be that simple. But, you know, you also want to make sure your content is evergreen. So it's, you know, it's something that can be, you know, learned from or utilized over and over, and no matter what year or time. So if it's something that's timeless like that, then people tend to want to share it, you know, whether it's an old video or so on and so on. So making for sure those things are in place. So you're asking when you need to ask, you know, don't be afraid of your audience. They're people. And then you're also making really valuable content that, you know, really help them down the line.
I love you wrote in a blog for Bloomerang.
Yeah.
Tell, like you just said, ask them and tell them how to do it. Like, we assume that everybody just knows social media because they study it day in and day out like we do.
Yeah.
But a lot of times people really don't know what we want them to do. Like, saying share. Well, that what? Like, share this particular piece of content from this link, or giving them specific instructions. And tell my clients, their board members all the time, I said, you can't just tell them post on social media. They don't, they don't really, I mean, that's kind of intimidating.
It's so vague, you know, it's just like, okay.
What do you want me to post?
Right. To
post. There's so much content. There's so much out there. Exactly. So just like, don't make them think. Don't make it harder on them. Mm-hmm. Like, clear is kind. You know,
yes.
Brené Brown.
Yes. Tell them exactly what you want.
Yes. So where do you see the future of social media? It's a question I get a lot and I really ponder. Like, I think I know personally what I'm thinking, but I don't know. I really struggle to see sort of the clear future.
Yeah.
So I wonder what you think.
I'm kind of like you. I know that there, I know it'll be there, right? So we all know
it'll
social media will be there. But we may be kind of utilizing it a little bit different, especially with AI, right? So we... We kind of have to look at it from a different angle. Okay. Like, you know, what will that kind of look like in the future? So I don't have a clear answer. I'm not quite sure, but I know for sure that, you know, the same principles will probably be there. You need to show up. You'll have to have really good content. And more than ever, you'll have to stand out, right? Because you'll have, you'll be competing with robots. So, so you really want to hone this down now because it's going to be really, you know, crucial as you build your brand later on.
I just had ChatGPT write a webinar description for me today, and it was amazing. It's actually really good. Like, oh my God, I'm not going to need to write anymore.
Right.
but I do agree. I think the standing out, defining your audience, knowing your niche, understanding what kinds of content resonates, everything that's in the scale method is going to really start becoming more and more important.
Yes.
Rather than just saying, oh, this is the new shiny tool.
Exactly.
That we have to jump on.
And that's something that's, you know, it's going to be evergreen, guys. It's going to always be there. You're going to always have to do that, whether we are typing with robots or not. So the robot won't know that, but you guys will.
So there are, I meant to pull up the statistic and I didn't, but I'll put it in the show notes. But there are hundreds of brand new organizations sprouting up every year, you know, every month.
Yeah.
And so many of them are small. So many of them don't know where to start. So what would your advice be for a brand new kind of startup nonprofit? Where should they start with this online marketing?
Yeah. So you definitely want to start with that S. So you want to know, you know, from your marketing strategy, I'm assuming you guys have one, at least start with the marketing strategy. You want to kind of look at, okay, where can we find our audience? So you'll start with that S of the scale method, and then you work through there. And then as you get to the execution pieces, you'll start actually nurturing your email list, and then you'll start actually asking for those donations. So kind of like Julia said earlier, though, you want to use all these pieces together. So not you know, independently, but your marketing strategy all blends together. So it makes one impact. And so that's kind of where I would tell a new organization who's thinking like, where should I go? Where should I start? I always start them with that S. So that's kind of why I made the method.
I love that because you can use that method with each platform.
Yeah.
So you say Facebook, okay, I need to know what I'm doing, what kinds of content, who I'm talking to, how I'm getting people off of Facebook, and what's the call to action. Okay, exactly. I'm going to use YouTube. All right, I got to go through the strategy, the content, the audience. I mean, it's just such a great model, I think, for anything that you're using, even, you know, a blog. Like, people might want to start a blog or a podcast. You want to start a podcast. Okay, why? What content are you going to, what audience are you going to use? How are you going to lead people off of that? So it's encouraging people, which is my theme for 2023, to be more proactive.
Oh, I love that.
And less reactive. And of course, I need to do a better job of that myself. But
hey, it's an ongoing learning thing.
Planning.
Exactly.
What would you say to the social media skeptics out there? And I don't think I have a lot of social media skeptics listening to the podcast, but I'm sure they have them on their board.
Yeah.
Or they have higher ups or maybe coworkers that are skeptical. What would your advice be?
I would definitely say at least give it a try, guys. I mean, and then stick to it. You know, it's just like what we were saying earlier. Don't do something, you know, one or two times and then expect it to work. This is a really long-term strategy. And over time, you'll see people coming more into your organization. You'll, you know, run into somebody and say, oh, I, you know, I saw your video or I saw your blog, and it just works. So, you know, over time, you just build that brand awareness. People learn about the organization and they want to be engaged. So you have to do it as a long-term strategy. It's not something that's going to be like a get rich quick kind of thing.
I totally agree. What do you wish you knew when you were just starting out in marketing?
I wish I knew. Oh, there's so many things. Yeah, I hear you. I wish I knew what I didn't know, like, you know, like what to look for, you know, yeah. What metrics should I care about? You know, like little things like that, you know, that kind of add up into a marketing strategy. You know, you go to school and you learn like the foundational marketing things, but it's nothing like getting out there and seeing, you know, how does a market kind of react? You know, how do you change with the market? What do you do, you know, when something comes up that you necessarily didn't plan for? So these are all things that I kind of got out here myself and kind of learned over time.
And we are coming up to our time, but I know a lot of people are going to want to learn how to work with you, Adora.
Yeah.
Tell us about your agency, mm-hmm. High Spirits Essentials, and where people can find you, how they can work with you.
Yeah. So you guys, we specifically work with nonprofits. About 80% of our clients are nonprofits, and then the other 20% are for-profit companies. But we love, you know, helping you guys with strategy pieces. We do work with the scale method. So we are actually working with what we are preaching. And so we'll actually help you walk through that method and how to convert those online followers into actual donors. And so if you guys want to actually have a really cute little download you guys can utilize for your email list, and you guys can go to AdoraDrakeMarketing.com/nonprofitnation, and you guys can grab that piece there. And then if you guys want to find me, that information will also be in the document.
Look at you with your little, you know, URL. Love it so much. AdoraDrakeMarketing.com/nonprofitnation.
Exactly.
Amazing. I love a good vanity URL. It's good. Look, and for tracking purposes, like we're just practicing what we're preaching here.
Exactly. So. Practicing what we're preaching.
Well, thanks, Adora. And I really appreciate it. And I know that you're going to get a lot of interest. So thanks so much for sharing.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure being here. Bye, guys.
Well, hey there. I wanted to say thank you for tuning into my show and for listening all the way to the end. If you really enjoyed today's conversation, make sure to subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app, and you'll get new episodes downloaded as soon as they come out. I would love if you left me a rating or a review, because this tells other people that my podcast is worth listening to. And then me and my guests can reach even more earbuds and create even more impact. So that's pretty much it. I'll be back soon with a brand new episode. But until then, you can find me on Instagram at JuliaCampbell77. Keep changing the world, you nonprofit unicorn. Thank you.